Today's title is Risk Takers, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5:7 to start with, for we walk by faith, not by sight, and then we're going to go on to some others. So if you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll get there in just a second. But the reality is we take risk every day, and we don't even think about it. For instance, you took a risk coming out here today, driving on the roads. You don't know how people are going to be on the other side of the road, if they're going to pay attention, if they're going to do what they're supposed to do, if they're not going to text. You don't know that. And yet you drove out here, and it didn't stop you. When we take a job, we don't know how it's going to turn out, if it's going to be a right fit for us, if it's going to meet our needs. You know, they can tell us things, but we don't know that for sure. And yet we do what? We take jobs. Some of you have started your own businesses, and you don't know if it's going to work out or not. You don't know if things are going to pan out and whether you're going to have, you know, be able to feed yourself and feed your family and do all the things that we're supposed to do. We don't know that. But yet, you guys are, you start your own businesses anyways. When we invest, we don't know how it's going to turn out, yet we invest anyways with no hesitation. You know, we might check things out. We might, you know, do some study on things, but, you know, we don't know if those investments are going to work out or not, and yet we invest anyway. We buy a new car. We buy a new home. You don't know if it's going to work out. You're just assuming that it's going to work out. And you don't think anything of it. You may weigh the pros and cons as far as which house you're going to buy, what car you're going to buy, but you're going to buy them anyways. You don't think twice about it. How about who to marry? How do you really know who you're marrying? How do you know how it's going to turn out? You don't know if it's going to turn out good or not. And yet you take the risk and you marry anyway. I remember when Diane and I got married. We went down to Dallas, Texas. We moved down there. And people were freaking out because we were moving down there because it was a recession going on. And the oil fields were drying up in Texas, and there was no reason, no jobs. We were foolish to go down there because we weren't going to get a job. We were going to have to, I don't know who we were going to live off of. We didn't know anybody. And, you know, the crazy thing is we packed our two cars, which were small. We packed our two cars with everything that we owned, and we went down to Dallas. Do you know what we had to bring coming back? A U-Haul. It was a risk of faith, and we made it. How about having children and deciding whether to have children or not? We don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know if they're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. We don't know that. You're taking a risk. And yet, you do it anyways. And most of us, before we had our kids, you know, we're thinking, I don't even know if I can afford them. But you do it anyways. You have them anyways. You take the risk. And then nowadays we have this thing about college, whether we should go to college or not. And if you do go to college, what are you going to study? And how much is it going to cost you? Because you're going to go to college for at least 4 or 5 years probably. And you don't know when you get out what's the economy going to be like in 4 or 5 years. Is whatever field you're going into, is it going to be able to sustain you and your family? Are you making the right decision? And yet you go to college anyways. How smart is that? It's amazing to me how we're willing to take risk in the natural, but somehow when it comes to faith, we don't want to have to take risk. as soon as God tells us to do something, then boom, we have a whole list of reasons why we shouldn't do what he just asked us to do. Because here's the bottom line, it's too risky. Oh, really? Well, just look at your life and see how many things you've just done that I named that you are a part of, and then as soon as God asks you to do something, you say no. What are you going to risk? Your name? How people are going to think about you? I mean, you know, we have a whole list of these things. But if we're going to walk by faith, it requires that we take risk, and not just one risk, but continuation of a whole lot of risk. And God is not going to ask us, are you comfortable with taking this risk? He's just going to ask you what to do. He's going to tell you what to do, and then you're going to have to decide, am I going to do it or not? May I remind you, you started a business, so you can go ahead and do what he says. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So accordingly, if we don't take risk, we can't walk by faith. We don't walk by faith, and therefore we don't have a means of pleasing God, because faith is what pleases God. Us walking out in faith pleases him. And you know, this verse comes after talking about Enoch, who Enoch, it says, walked by faith, and it was so powerful, even though we don't know what he did, but it was so powerful that God was so impressed with him that he didn't see death. God took him up. That's how powerful his walk of faith was with God. And then right after that, we get that verse. I would say Enoch was definitely rewarded for his faith. Life was good for him. Now, this is where, well, let me just say that for us planners out there who always like to know what's coming next, who always like to know what are the next steps that we have to do, what is it going to look like? For us planners, this is horrible. I don't take any pleasure in this when I first started learning about this. Because I like to know not only the Alpha and the Omega, but I want to know everything in between. And if you have spent any time with God, usually he tells you the Alpha, and then he'll tell you the Omega when he thinks you can handle it, and then you start rejoicing until you start walking in the in-between. And then you start thinking, have I lost my mind? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Nobody in their right mind would do that. Because this is how God works. This is what he did for us. He told us the end. And we were so excited that we didn't care what was in between. So God gives us the big picture, but little else to start off with. It's like, I think about our kids when we would drive to Virginia Beach to go on vacation to see my family. We would load up the car, we would put the kids in there, and we would drive out there. And not one time did my children ask me, Dad, do you know how to get there? Dad knew how to get there. They didn't ask that question. Their mind was on the big picture. We're going to Virginia Beach. We're going to go see the ocean. I don't know if they were anxious to see the family too, but, you know, the older they got, the more the ocean became appealing to them. So we gave them the big picture, and you know what? They got through it to get there. But they didn't ask me all the time, Are you taking the right turn? Is this the right road? Should we have taken the other highway? They didn't ask me all that. They just sat in the back of the car and they let me drive. I'll tell you when you're blessed is after they've grown and they start driving and you're sitting in the back seat and you can take a nap. It's a beautiful thing now when we go on vacation and they're with us, except for most of the time we're flying. But, you know, we go up to visit Caleb. Once we get there, I give him the keys, and he does the rest of the driving in Cedar Rapids. The other thing that God does is he tells us the first step to take, and he doesn't tell us the steps afterwards. And I want to know the steps afterwards. I want to know not only what it is, but I want to know what it looks like, how it's going to turn out. What do I need to plan for? And you know, he doesn't tell me that. He gives me one step. And I have to be obedient to take that one step, and then he'll tell me what the next step is. And that brings me to Psalm 119, verse 105. Want to look at that? This is one of my favorite scriptures, even though it's a killer to me. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the word lamp there means a lantern. It's a lantern. A lantern is something that you carry, and it has a light on it, but it doesn't shine very bright. And it shines enough for you to see your first step, maybe your next step. But as you continue to go, it'll light your way. So it lights up enough to take one step at a time. Now, we live out in the country, and we have railroad tracks, and if you're coming in from being out at night, and we have these wonderful trains that go through town and stuff, and if you're out near Danville and stuff, and one of those trains is coming your way, you know it's coming your way. You know how you know it? Because there's a light on there that's, I don't know how big it is, but it's awful bright, and it shines down that track a long ways. It's not a lantern, I can tell you that. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 24, this is what it says. And you kind of have to, towards the end we'll get it, but Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. So there's things that we have to do. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Verse 22. When you walk, they will lead you. Isn't that awesome? When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. And then he says this in verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And so again, we have the bright lights. If you ever been down at the Mississippi in the summertime, and on the river you have the tugboats that are going by. Do you know tugboats have a real bright light? It's a big spotlight. I don't know how big it is, but I can tell you, they can see, it seems like, a long ways down the river. They put that thing on there. If you're out there at night, And you're coming and you're heading, you can see them from a long ways away. If you're like most people, we want to know all the obstacles, all the pros and cons before we step out in faith and take a risk. It's okay to have your pros and cons, but when it comes time to step out, we've got to step out. We can't let the fear keep us paralyzed to the point where we don't step out. We just celebrated the Christmas season, and the Christmas season is a great reminder of Emmanuel, God with us. We have to understand that when we step out in faith, God is with us. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2. You know, when we remember that God is with us, then it's a little bit easier to take the risk and step out in faith. But when we understand that He's with us and that He wants us to take the risk of faith and step out, we can do it. We know we're going to make it. When we understand that He's with us and what He desires to see in us, the very best come out of us, then that means that we're more willing to take the risk because we know He's with us. But God has a great desire for us to walk by faith so that we can be pleasing unto Him. That is the best life that we can live, is a life lived in faith. There is the desire for all of us to be great and to walk by faith and not by sight. But we have to learn to step out in faith and take the risk. Faith must do something. It cannot be idle. It cannot be in rest. And in James chapter 2, we find this. Verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" What good is it, my brothers, if someone says, "I have faith"? Verse 15. "If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is it? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Isn't that interesting? And so what he's saying here, if we say we have faith but we don't have works, it's dead, is because our faith is revealed by the things we do, by the stepping out that we are supposed to do, that God is directing us to do. That if we don't step out in faith and do it, then we really don't have faith. All we say is, we have faith. We say it. If someone says, and James is saying it's not enough to say that you have faith. There has to be evidence that you have faith. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 talked about all of this. In chapter 12 talked about this. And now we find James talking about it as well. There has to be something that we can see that says, yes, you have faith. And here's what I want you to know. Going to church is not saying I have faith. If your neighbors know that you have faith only because you've gone to church, they don't know you. You haven't revealed true faith to them. All you've revealed to them is you're religious enough to go to church on Sunday. In Romans chapter 10, it reads like this in verse 9, Romans 10, 9. "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Everybody likes that, right? Verse 10 says, though, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And so he's saying the same thing that James is saying. There's got to be action with this thing that you say that you believe God. If you believe God, that's great. You can believe there is a God. You can believe that God sent Jesus Christ as our sacrifice. But until we confess it, that we acknowledge that verbally in some manner so that somebody else knows, we're not saved according to this. Somebody has to know. There's a difference between believing and being saved by our confession. We have to have both, believing and action. And James later, you know, he even talks about it. He said, you believe? Great. So do the demons. They believe, but they shudder. We know for certain they believe, but we don't know for certain you believe. Back to James chapter 2, verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? See, that's so politically correct. You foolish person. I would use a different term. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Everybody say useless. Was not Abraham our father justified by the works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active. That's so interesting. Along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. What works? Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, when did he believe God? We're going to see that in just a minute. In the end of verse 23, and he was called a friend of God. Now, here's verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. When did Abraham believed, but when did it get credit to him as righteousness? When he offered Isaac, when there was some action with his words, with his belief. Verse 25 says, and in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. In other words, if I can say it the way we've talked about it at the beginning, you can say you have faith all day long, but if you are not willing to step out and take a risk, you have no faith. You may go to church, but you have no faith. Faith, to be real faith, has to have works associated with it. And I'm going to change the word works and say it has to have action associated with it. It has to have a demonstration. Because it says here that Isaac was offered up. That was the proof that Abraham had faith in God. He offered up his son, Isaac. Now, here's what's interesting. I want you to catch this. To me, this is so important. Now, Isaac is a miracle child. He's a miracle son. He's the son of promise that God promised to them at an old age, and I always like to say this, God outweighed them until there was no human possible way for them to have a child, and they had already tried to help God, and when it came to the point where they couldn't help God anymore, they could look in the mirror, they could look at each other, they could lay down in bed together, and at 99 they could laugh and say, we're going to have a child, and he's going to be a son. You know, they had to be entertaining. And then God comes to them and he says, hey, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. 100 years old for Abraham, 90 for Sarah, and they have Isaac. Now, that's a miracle. And you would have thought, well, wow, that's a demonstration of faith. But it's not in here. According to James, that's nothing. That's just a miracle. Woo! You want to know why he's considered the father of faith? Because 13 years later, after they've raised this boy, after they've looked at this boy and realized, man, he's the son of promise. He's awesome. He's a miracle. And God says, Abraham, come on. We're going to make a sacrifice. Which is, obviously, Abraham was accustomed to this. So was Isaac. Because if you go back and read the story, you find out Isaac says, hey, Dad, I see the wood, and I know where there's a fire. Where's the sacrifice? That's the real test. Not the miracle that happened to conceive him, but the miracle to lay him on the altar when God said, hey, this is the son of promise. Yeah, he came by miracle. You see, Abraham had action with his faith. And James says, that's the proof. And Rahab, oh my goodness, God is so amazing because she was willing to hide the spies and then send them out a different way. And do you know she's the only Gentile in the lineage of Jesus? Go look at that. So how do we know Abraham believed? Not because he conceived a son, but because he offered up that son, his only son, the son of promise. His faith was active during the time to be able to receive the miracle, but the true revelation of his faith happened when he was willing to offer up Isaac. We have to get this because it's not about having our checkoff list that we've made that says, I have faith, going to church, giving, singing, whatever it is. We have our checkoff list. Abraham didn't have a checkoff list, but he offered up his son. Rahab, the protection and everything that happened, and God rewarded her for her demonstration, for the actions that she had moved by faith. Because if you remember her, she was like, and our hearts are falling apart because we know what's coming. And when those spies came, she's like, I'm getting in on the promise. She was moved by faith. There was action associated with her faith. And we say we have faith, and God says, okay, then I want you to do this. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that right now. Why aren't you going to do it? It's too risky. Everybody listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and the great cloud of witnesses that starts off Hebrews chapter 12. We know them because of the things that they did, because of the actions that proved that they had faith. We cannot just talk the talk of faith. We have to walk the walk of faith for our faith to be real. It's easy, don't get me wrong, it's easy to say you have faith. It's easy to go to church, at least for some of you. Some of you, it's still a struggle. But it's easy to do that. But when God asks us to do something, and not just go through the motions, but have an effect on our family, have an effect on our society, like the great cloud of witnesses did, if we're going to walk by faith and not just talk about it, we have to be willing to take risk. On a daily basis, step out and prove our faith by the things we do in faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So I ask you this morning, in light of this scripture, is faith really a risk? Is faith really a risk? If we know that we're walking with God, if we know that we can hear His voice and we can be obedient to Him, then is there really a risk associated with it? The answer is no. But yet we have to step out and take a risk to show our faith. So when we have the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen, there's no risk involved, except for the fact that we don't know how it's going to turn out. You may think you're hearing from God, and you might be, you might not be. But you know what's so awesome about that is? God's not dependent on whether we heard him and did exactly what he said. There's a point where we have to do that, but I'm just saying that the life of faith is a continual stepping out and trusting that we hear from God. If we didn't hear from him, let it die. If you did hear from him, it'll keep going. The promise that God has for us is if we love him, even if you step out in faith, take that step of faith, the risk, if you do that and you mess it up, he promises that he'll even be so gracious as to turn it around for our good. So stand with me, because I want you to be willing to step out in faith. Take the risk. That isn't really a risk, but it's just new to us, so it feels strange to us. The way I have found with God is he puts something in our heart, and then he says, this is what we're going to do. We already have the assurance. When I felt called into the ministry, I knew that God would be with me. But how was it going to look like? I didn't have a clue. And I graduated from Virginia Tech, had a management degree. I was working at Kmart. They wanted me to go into their management team. And I refused several times because they kept asking me. They knew what my background was. And they kept asking me. And I said, look, I said, I can't do it because I'm not called there. I'm called to the ministry. And I said, "And you're going to spend your time training me, and in 5 years, I'm probably going to be gone." And then somehow, I meet this lady in Virginia Beach. And then as things progressed and we're talking, and then she didn't want to admit the calling, and I never told her, you know. She's like, what are you going to do when you grow up? I grow up. She knew. What I didn't know is she said that she wasn't going to be a pastor's wife. She wasn't going to sing, live in Iowa and sing in front of people, right? Oh. That's probably my bad, because I didn't tell her some things, so she didn't tell me some things. But you know what? Together, God hooked us up, and then together we watched God work. We watched him weave the tapestry of our life so that we could be at the place that God wanted us to be. And you know how much God loves you, don't you? We left Texas. It's warm like it is in Florida. Except for really in Texas, it was too hot during the summer. Whew. Anyways, step out in faith. If you think it's a risk, go ahead and take it. If you mess up, don't worry about it. Tomorrow's coming. A new day will come. New mercies. Greater grace. You'll make it. You will. We had no idea we would be here this long. No idea. God does. He's the Alpha and Omega. And you know what? He's everything in between. and we can trust him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Father, I thank you for the great things that you've placed within us, that you've called us to. I thank you for the great things that this church has done and is going to continue to do, and even greater things, because we're willing to take the risk and step out in faith and put actions with what we say that we believe. And Father, I thank you that you promise to reward that. And Father, we look forward to it all. We look forward to stepping out in faith. We look forward to doing the things that you've called us to do. And we look forward to your glory being revealed in our homes, in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right. Be blessed and take that risk.